ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजम् ब्रह्मणाम् कात्यायनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारी धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। द फर्स्ट् चाप्टर् of Mandukya Upanishad, 7th mantra is a significant mantra. All the mantras are important. 7th mantra is a significant mantra because that mantra presents Atma Swarupam. Atma Swarupa Pratipadaka Mantraha, which means that mantra consists of the words of which each word reveals the nature of the Atma, nature of the Self. And there, again, we have two words. One word is Prapancha Upashamaha. Prapancha Upashamaha is a word implying the Atma. Another word is Advaitaha. I can say Prapancha Upashamam Advaitam. These two words are used, the 7th mantra. Prapancha Upashamam Advaitam. And let us take the first word now. Prapancha Upashamam. Upashamaha means negation, the resolve, resolution. So, Prapancha Upashamaha means resolution of the universe. How can the word meaning resolution of the universe mean Atma? This word actually, it does not, Prapanchaha Upashamaha, two words are, Prapanchasya Upashamaha, resolution of the universe is equal to Atma. What it means is, it does not directly means, it is Atma is that wherein the universe resolves. When you say Atma is the Atma is that, you know, the Self is that, that means the Self is the truth of the universe wherein the universe resolves. When you say there is universe does not have existence independently outside of the Atma. Therefore, what? Atma alone is in the form of the whole universe. And Atma is that wherein the universe resolves, which means Atma being the very substratum, existence, the truth of the universe is implied by that word Prapanchopashamaha. But there again, we are asked to see another meaning also. What is that? When you say Prapanchopashamaha, what is indirectly revealed is, the Atma, the Upaprapanchaha, being what now? Mithya, is also implied. By mentioning Atma is that wherein the universe resolves, something else is implied, that is, universe being mithya, universe being non-real. Prapanchopashamaha reveals Atma being the reality where the universe resolves. Thereby it indirectly reveals what? Universe being mithya, non-real. I'm not saying unreal, non-real. Therefore, Upashamaha, therefore, how universe is mithya? So, mithya means the universe enjoys what status? universe enjoys the status of being the non-real. Which means universe is not real. So that's called mithyatvam. Prapanchasya mithyatvam. The non-reality of the universe. A universe being non-real, which means being not as good as non-existent, is also implied. Isn't it? That mithyatvam of the universe being non-real, is elaborately discussed in the second chapter. So second, whole of the second chapter, it's called Vaitatya Prakaranam, discusses what? The universe being non-real, universe being mithya. So the whole chapter is, the whole chapter discusses, in fact, establishes clearly that universe being mithya. Mithya means what? It has no independent existence. Therefore, what? It is as good as non-existent. That is established. So, what is the universe? Now, first, define universe. What is universe according to the Vedanta Shastra? People talk about, model of universe, isn't it? What is this universe? What is this cosmos? Kaha prapanchaha, yeshaha prapanchaha, kaha etad idam jagat kim? What is this universe? If you ask, and then you can say what? This universe, let us understand in terms of the explanation given here in this Mandukya Upanishad. Vishwaha Virat, Taijasaha Hiranyagarbha, Antaryami, or Pragyaha Antaryami Ishwaraha. Pragyaha, or I can say Ishwaraha. All these six together constitute Prapanchaha. What is cosmos? These six factors together constitute what? The Ini Prapanchaha. Vishwaha Virat, Taijasaha Hiranyagarbha, Pragyaha Ishwaraha. Antaryami is another word for Ishwara. The six constitute the universe, Prapanchaha. The four different ways of understanding the cosmos. We can say it this way. Or, Sthula Shariram, the gross body and the gross objects. Subtle body, subtle objects, and then causal body, causal universe, causal objects, objects obtaining in causal form. All of them constitute prapanchaha, the second way of seeing the prapancha. This universe is nothing but gross body and the gross objects, gross forms, subtle body, subtle forms, subtle objects, causal body and the causal universe or causal objects, all the six of them constitute the cosmos or universe, prapanchaha. You can see another way also. Prathama padaha, Dvitiya padaha, Tritiya padaha, all the three padas are what we can say, all three padas constitute the prapanchaha. Prathama, Dvitiya, Tritiya padas. First, second, third padas constitute the prapanchaha. We can say universe. There again you can say the Prathama Padaha and Dvitiya Padaha, the two Padas stand for what? The effects. Prathama Padaha is an effect in gross form. Dvitiya Padaha is an effect in subtle form. And Tritiya Padaha stands for cause, causal form. Causal form, subtle form, gross form. But we can say cause and effect. Cause, Tritiya Padaha stands for cause, isn't it? Cause. The second, Pratama and Dvitiya, first and second two padas stand for the effects. So the cause and the effects constitute the universe. The universe is nothing but cause and effect system. This is how we can see cause and effect. Universe is nothing but cause and effect. Cause and its effects. Universe is nothing but first the three padas together constitute the universe. Or you can say gross, subtle, causal bodies and the objects constitute the universe. And you can say, you can simply say what? All the six, Vishwavirat, Tejas Hiranyagarbha, Pragya Ishvara, all of them constitute Prapanchaha. This word is Prapanchaha. And this Prapanchaha is what now? Mithya. Mithyatvam. Mithya, other, what is the other word? Vitatha. Mithya, otherwise you can say Vitatha. Mithyatvam, you can say Vaitatyam. Mithyatvam, you can say Vaitatyam. Mithyatvam is a noun form, isn't it? Mithyatvam, non-reality. Or, not, I'm not saying unreality, okay? Non-reality. I will say Vaitatyam. Nouns, okay. Vitathayaha bhavaha vaitatyam. So, the universe being not real, mithya, is established like this. If prapanchaha is mithya, then prapanchaha is mithya. Then what is satyam? Is it? So, turiya chaitanyam, turiya padaha. We have already taken what? All the three padas are mithya. All the three padas constitute. All the three padas in the form of cause and effect constitute mithya prapancha. Now, turiya padaha, chaturtha padaha or turiya padaha. We can say turiyam is the chaitanyam alone is satyam. Turiya padaha. Arturiyam alone is satyam. All other three padas are mithya. Satyam means what? The reality. If turiyam alone is satyam, what you have to understand here? Turiyam alone is satyam. And is turiyam alone satyam means, what is this turiyam satyam? Atma. Is this turiyam is the satyam which is the atma. Turiyam is satyam and the satyam is what? Turiyam satyam is atma. Atma means what? I. Atma is what? The self of everything. Self of everything means what about yourself? Your self is what? How do you refer to yourself? How do you refer to yourself? How do you refer to yourself? As I. Therefore, a self is Atma. And, okay, Turiyam is Satyam. And the satyam, the turiyam satyam is what? Atma. Therefore, Atma is what now? I. And then I refer to myself as I. Therefore, I the self am the Atma, the turiyam chaitanyam, distinct from this mithya prapanchaha. But the mithya prapanchaha is non-different from, what now? Me, I, the turiyam, Therefore, I am the whole. So, this Atma, here we say the non-dual. To Satyam is what now? Non-dual, secondless reality. Atma. And here, that Atma alone, we have the other word now, Advaitam. The word Advaitam is there. That word Advaitam is discussed in this third chapter. The whole chapter, Advaita Prakaranam, elaborately discusses what now? The meaning of that word Advaitam. So what does the word Advaitam refer to? What does the word Advaitam mean here? The Turiyam, isn't it? So three padas, the implying Mithya Prapancha is what now discussed here, in the second chapter, in terms of Prapancha Upashamaha. And the third chapter, Advaitam, the Turiyam is the Advaitam. And that is discussed in the third chapter. So Advaitam, what literal meaning? Dvaitam is means two. A Dvaita means not to two, which means the not to means the truth is one. Truth, absolute reality, not two, not two. Satyam is not two, truth is not two. Advaitam. Therefore, Advaitam, you have a non-dual reality, is non-dual reality is the Atma. The Turiyam Chaitanyam consciousness is the Atma. The Atma is the Satyam. And Satyam is what? Atma. Therefore, the Advaitam refers to Atma, the Turiyam Chaitanyam. Atma, Turiyam, Chaitanyam is implied by the word, is referred to by the word Advaitam. And here, if we take this, the whole, the third chapter, how many karikas are there? There are only 48 karikas. And 48 karikas we have seen. We can classify, these 48 karikas. We can divide them into five portions dealing with five different topics. We take the first two karikas of Advaita Prakaranam. First two karikas of Advaita Prakaranam present the very introduction, introduce the teaching. The introduction wherein Dvaitam being the cause of samsaraha is presented. Dvaitam in duality, there is samsara inevitable. In duality, there is samsaraha. Life of limitations, life of becoming, life of transmigration, the samsara involving birth, death, changes, old age, and then, the separation, pain, pleasure, the parts of opposites, experiences, they all constitute samsara. Isn't it? So the samsaraha is life of pains and pleasures, life of parts of experience of parts of opposites. Which is what now? Which is constantly changing also, isn't it? This life of samsara is inevitable, unavoidable in duality. It is definite in duality, there is samsara. That is made clear in the very introduction of the first two verses. First two karikas. So it implies what? If dvaitam is a cause for samsara, what is the cause of samsara? Duality is the cause of samsara. Wherever there is duality involved, there is samsara. It can be what? Performance of actions. Mundane actions or religious activities. Also samsara. They involve dvaitam. Secular activities or sacred activities. The performer performed division is there. Performer, performance, performed, doer, done, division is there. Even if it is a religious activity, doesn't matter, religious or mundane, secure or sacred, there is duality because division is there. Even worshipper worshipped, duality is there. Even in worship, isn't it? Even in religious activities, in worship, there is a worshipper worshipped, duality is there. Division is there. Then there is samsara. Meditator meditated, duality is there. Samsara. Whether it is upasanam, manasam karma, or kayikam karma, vachikam karma, vaidikam karma, or avaidikam karma, non-vedic, laukikam karma, any karma is what? Involves duality, and where there is duality, there is samsara. Laukikam means worldly, mundane. Vaidika means religious, ritualistic, rituals, whatever it is. The duality is, therefore samsara is. Why? Because, why dvaitam is the cause of samsara? Because where there is a dvaitam, duality, definitely there comes what? Time and space. In dvaitam, in duality, there is time involved. Desha kala kalana. Listen, kala, time factor is involved, space is involved. Division means what? Time and space or inward. When the time is there, change is a factor, unavoidable. Time implies change because all the changes happen in time. Birth is a change. Big change. Birth is a change. Takes place in time. Even before birth, conception until the time of birth, there's a time involved. So in time, everything takes place in time. Birth takes place in time. Growth implies what? Does growth all takes place in time? Change, growth is another change in time. Old age is what? Why we are all not the same? Old age is again something happening in change happening in time. Time is. That is why Kalaha. We have to hold on to Kala, Kaleshwara, to escape this Kala, from Kala. The time, you know, the change is something which goes with the time, isn't it? Time means the change. And then we think time is somehow responsible for all these things. Old age, what about death? Death also happens in time. Birth, growth, decay, old age, death. Death means what? Separation. Which is something. Birth is nice, birthday parties, you can have every year. And after death, no birth, isn't it? How happy we are to celebrate the birthday parties. We are not that happy celebrating Antyeshti. And after Antyeshti, no more birthday party. So it's a change. So time implies changes, inevitable, unavoidable, change, non-changeable change. So all happens in time. Therefore, and separation means samsara. Okay? Where there is dvaitam, there is time and space involved. Therefore, there are changes inevitable. Changes in the form of birth, death, old age, etc. are inevitable. Therefore, there is samsara. And what is that which is free from these changes? So what if it is free from time, not subject to time? What is indivisible, partless, whole, isn't it? Is Advaitam, is Turiyam, the Atma, the awareness, Advaitam. Therefore, the first two karikas introducing the chapter says that duality is the cause, being cause of samsara, is discussed. Thereafter, the second topic is what, third verse onwards till the 30th verse, 30th karika, third to the 30th, 27 karikas discuss the negation of creation. Srishtehe nishedaha. Srishtehe, no, the negation of the creation. Which means that which makes very clear there is no such thing called creation at all. And this negation of creation, called Srishti Nishedaha, is called what? In fact, the very topic of Srishti itself in the Shastras is discussed for what? The analysis of creation itself is for negating the creation, isn't it? But here Srishti is not analyzed, but here Srishti is negated. And Srishti Nishedaha, negation of creation, which is called what? Ajativadaha. Ajativadaha, there is no creation at all. So why creation is negated? Creation is negated, thereby Brahman, Atma, the Turiya Chaitanyam, which is Atma, the Brahman, being not the cause, is established. Thereby non-duality of the reality is established. Reality being free from cause and the effect. Reality being not the cause, thereby that reality being non-dual is established. Srishti Nishaya, the negation of the creation. Creation means what here? The two things are discussed. Neither the jiva is created, nor the jagat is created. Negation of the jiva, creation of jiva, negation of the creation of the universe. So, negation of the creation of the individual self and negation of creation of the total universe also. Both are negated. There is no jiva created. There is no jagat created. And how is it presented here? This jiva, jagat, srishti, nishedaha, called ajati vadaha, is presented in these 27 karikas. There, the negation is done at four levels. How? There is a logical negation of the creation of jiva. Then also he presents the scripturally support that the creation of the jiva is negated with support of the quotations from the Shruti also. It's called scriptural negation of the jiva srishtihi and the logical negation of jiva srishtihi. The creation of jiva is negated scripturally as well as logically. First logically he negates, then scripturally he negates. Is it clear? So second topic is the negation of the creation. And how does he negate the jiva srishtihi logically? He uses the example of pot space. Isn't it? Pot space. There is no such thing called pot space. There is only space. But still we use the expression pot space. Because, the pot space is a name given to space from the standpoint of the pot which obtains in space. Really speaking, there is no such a thing called pot space. So, pot space has no birth. Pot space has no death. Pot space has no change, isn't it? Pot space has no movement. And pot space is one indivisible, partless whole. And pot space is untainted, untouched. And space is what? No. There's no pot space at all, first of all. There's only space. Pot space is not created. Whereas, pot which obtains in space has birth, created. Not really created, okay? As beginning. Pot has birth. Pot undergoes changes. Pot decays. Pot gets old. And pot gets broken. Therefore, birth, changes, destruction belongs to pot. And you can also say what now? Movement also you can say. Pot can be taken one place to another place. So, movement is also belongs to pot. Plurality, multiplicity belongs to pot. Now, you have to be only one, isn't it? So, this here, the birth, change, the decay, the destruction or death or movements or plurality, all of them belong to the pot, not to this space. Similarly, so birth, death, change, old age, destruction, movements, everything belong to the body, not to the turiyam, the atma. Atma is, therefore, what atma? Jiva atma. The jiva atma is nothing but turiyam, the consciousness. Therefore, it is not subject to any changes. As no birth. So, this is using this pot space example, he logically establishes, he negates the creation of the jiva. Then he scripturally, he negates the creation of jiva. How? we say by using Mahavakyams, all these Mahavakyams reveal the Jiva Atma being identical with Parama Atma. Like just as wave, in the Maha, this Vakyam, a statement, the wave is water, reveals identity between wave being identical with ocean from the standpoint of the water. Similarly here also, every individual cell, Jiva Atma, is identical with Parama Atma. Thereby it means what now? The Paramatma is absolute self which is free from birth. Jivatma, identical with Paramatma means what? Jivatma is free from birth. Therefore the creation of the Jiva is scripturally negated by revealing its identity with Paramatma. Is it clear? So Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam, negates the, reveals the Jivatma being identical with Paramatma, thereby it negates the creation of Jiva. Is it clear now? The scriptural negation of Jiva Srishti. Then Jagat Srishti is negated. How is Jagat Srishti is negated? Isn't it? Here, used in the dream experience. How the dream universe, the dream plurality, dream duality, dream multiplicity, dream objects, dream space, dream time, everything is very real and from the standpoint of the dreamer, but the same dream is what now? Mithya on the standpoint of the waker. Same way, this Jagrat Prapanchaha also, which is very real from the standpoint of the waker, is Mithya from the standpoint of Turiyaha. Is it clear now? Turiyam. Therefore, the Jagat, this script, so therefore, this he establishes. Jagat Srishti also, he negates. And not only that, and we have so many karikas, that's why we have so many, 27 karikas present this negation of Jiva Srishti and Jagat Srishti, this goes logically and scripturally, how they are negated, represented, in this 27 verses. We saw that, no? Yuktya Jiva Srishti Nishedaha, Shrutya Jiva Srishti Nishedaha, then Yuktya Jagat Srishti Nishedaha and the Shrutya Jiva Srishti Jagat Srishti Nishedaha, Yuktya Jagat Srishti Nishedaha, isn't it? Shrutya Yuktya Jiva Jagat Srishti Nishedaha means what? Logical, scriptural negation of Jiva, creation of Jiva and Jagat. The second topic discussed in the, we have to go back and see all the karikas. 3rd to 30. Okay, the next topic discussed is 31st to 39th. Atma Jnanam, or you can say Amani Bhavaha, Asparsha Yogaha. Self knowledge is discussed. So how many verses? How many karikas? 31st to 39. 9 karikas. So Atma Jnanam, self knowledge, is now here implied by Garupacharya in this chapter with special words. Atma Satya Anubodha, isn't it? Atma Satya Anubodha. Atma Satya Anubodha. They use another word, Asparsha Yogaha. These two words are used to mean self-knowledge, Atma Jnanam. In that context, he said, he made many things very clear. Atma is Satyam. Atma is the only Satyam. the content of I, you know, the substance of substantive I, the awareness, the turiyam alone is satyam. Atma alone is satyam. We already understood. Turiyam padaha is atma. And atma is satyam. Atma means I. Atma is satyam. Atma eva satyam, atma satyam. And atma satya bodaha, the knowledge of that only reality, atma. See, he makes it very clear. There is no second reality other than atma. That should become very clear. Atma eva satyam, atma satyam. And atma satya bodaha, the knowledge of that atma, the only reality, is only with the help of the Shastra study. Only through the Shastra study. So, Anu, only one, the Atma, that Anu Bodaha, is attainable only through the study of the scriptures. Only, is it Atma Satya Anu Bodaha? That Anu is very important. Anu means in aid of, isn't it? It implies the aid, the support. How we have to understand? To have the knowledge of something which is very, very far, your eyes are not enough. Eyes need the support of a binocular to have the knowledge of something which is very far. But imagine my binocular without your, if you are blind, binocular will be useless, isn't it? But your eyes themselves are not adequate to have the knowledge of something which is far. Your eyes need the support of the binocular. Similarly, to have the knowledge of something minute, your eyes are not enough, you need support of microscope. Microscope or binocular, without your eyes will be useless in knowing something which is far or knowing something which is minute. But your eyes themselves without the microscope will be incapable of, incomplete, is it? Aid, incapable of knowing something which is minute and subtle. Similarly, your intellect, your sharpness of your intellect is very important. No, emotionally undisturbed, emotionally unoverpowered, emotionally undisturbed, sharp intellect is very important, but it needs the support of Shastram. Without the Shastram, your intellect will be incomplete, inadequate, insufficient. And without your sharp intellect, Shastram will be useless. Understand? Therefore, Anu stands for what? Shastram. Shastram means what here? No? Guru Shastra Upadesha, the Vedantic teaching. The Vedantic teaching. So, Atma Eva Satyam. Atma is the reality. There is no reality other than the Atma. And that reality, the knowledge of that reality, no, one has to attain through the Vedantic study. Is it clear? That is simply Atma Satya Anubodha. Make it very clear. And there, he also said there, and this Atma is what now, the Atma Jnana is also called Asparsha Yogaha, because Atma is untainted. Sparshaha means touch, relation, connection, association. Asparshaha means Atma is something untainted, untouched. Therefore, it's called Asparshaha. Atma itself is called what? Known by the term Asparshaha. Asparshaha means that which is free from all relationships, connections, associations. Atma, the Turiyam, the awareness is not connected, no association, has no association with the Kartrutvam, the doership or enjoyership or karma or any relationship, any association. Isn't it? So Atma is something untainted, untouched. Therefore Atma is also unrelated, non-relatable. Understand? Therefore Atma is free from, Atma being free from all connections, association, relationships and relations, is said to be what? No, untaintedness of the Atma is taken to be, is said to be what? No, Asparshaha. So Atma is implied by the word Asparshaha. Aham Asparshaha, you all can say Aham Atma, you all can say Aham Asparsha Atma. Aham Asparshaha. Asparshaha means what now? I am Asparshaha, therefore I am, I the self am completely, what now? I am the source of security. I am the security myself. Understand? Therefore, Atma is the security, Atma is the, Atma doesn't require any security. This is Asparshaha, and here in this context, which means depending upon the world, relationships, relations, for anything, for security and happiness is what? Then there is samsara. You know, in jnanam, in Advaita, Turiya, Atma, jnanam, there is security. That also, so the test that is implied here. That contemplate, understand, he says, talks about the Amani Bhavaha. Why does he, Amani Bhavaha means what? Negation of the mind as mithya. Understanding the mind being the mithya, mind being not the reality, is what now? Sort of destruction of the mind. Okay? And which is called Amani Bhavaha, Mano Nashaha. Why mind should be negated? Why mind should be destroyed? Destroyed means what now? Destruction of the mind, not physically undoing the mind, not destroying the mind, but negating the mind as mithya, by understanding mind being mithya, how? By resolving the, resolution of resolving the mind is Mano Amani Bhavaha. Why? Because it is this mind which is the cause of perception. And the perception is what now? The cause of perception. Perception means it involves duality. Isn't it? There cannot be duality if there is no such thing called perception. Perception is because of what passed, because of the mind. Therefore, mind is the cause for the perception of duality. And duality is what? Samsaraha. Look at this. Mind is responsible for the perception of duality. And perception of duality involves what? Samsaraha. Therefore, mind is the cause of samsaraha. Therefore, resolving the mind will help you resolve the problem of perception of duality. Thereby, you can resolve the samsara caused by the perception of duality. Now, the question comes, does really the perception of duality is the cause of samsara? Means, no, it's not a perception of duality is the cause of samsara. The perception of duality, which is now caused by the mind, functioning of the mind, not being mistaken for the reality, is the cause of samsara. Mind is the cause of perception, isn't it? Perception as such is possible because of the mind. And perception is, means there is duality. And duality is samsara means. Perception of duality itself is not samsara. can become the cause of samsara. But what is perceived, the duality, the perception, now everything being mithya should be understood. Unfortunately, we mistake the perceived duality as satyam. Therefore, how can you avoid this problem of going through samsara by mistaking the perceived duality as satyam? Only by resolving the mind, by negating the mind. What this mind is all about? What is this mind? If the mind is switched off, there is no jagat, there is no duality, then there is no samsara. The mind is turned on, there is duality, there is samsara. Therefore, understand what the mind is. Understand how mind is not the satyam. Mind is not satyam. Mind is not there really speaking by itself. Mind's mithyatvam, mind being mithya, has to be understood very clearly. If mind being mithya is very clear, then what to talk of the perception of the mind and the perception of duality, isn't it? Perception of duality caused by the mind is also what now? Mithya. Mind itself is mithya. How can the duality perceived, is it? Perception of duality caused by the mind is satyam. So the duality is also what now? Mithya. You can negate duality as mithya by negating very perception as mithya, by negating the mind as mithya. Thereby you can become free from samsara. So in order to free yourself from the samsara, the bondage, to negate the samsara as mithya, understand samsara being mithya, you have to negate very perception of duality being mithya. And to negate the perception of duality as mithya, you have to negate the very mind being mithya. To negate the mind as mithya, you have to understand the mind being mithya. To understand the mind being mithya, you have to understand the satyam, the atma. So, atma satya anubodhena eva amani bhavaha sadhyaha. Understand? Amani bhavaha is possible. Negation of mind, which is, there's no physical destruction, okay? Destruction of the mind or negation of mind, resolution of the mind as mithya is only through the recognition of the atma being the only satyam. Is it clear? Or atma the satyam. If you see the satyam, mithya being the mithya becomes clear. Shifting the attention from the mithya to satyam will help you to see the mithya being the mithya. Do you need to undo the ocean to say ocean is mithya? Ocean is not there. You do not physically undo the ocean. You cannot undo the ocean. The attention is shifted from the Namarupa ocean to water. Then, isn't it? Jala satya bodhena samudra mithyatvam. Understand? By seeing the truth, water being the truth, you see the ocean being mithya. Ocean being not real, non-real. Similarly here, the Atma Satya Anubodhena, by seeing the Atma, Turiya Chaitanyam being the Atma, Satyam, the truth being the Atma, you negate the mind being, you understand the mind being mithya. Understanding the mind being mithya is what? Resolving the mind. And resolving the mind is what? Negating the mind. By negating the mind as mithya, you negate the very perception of duality and what now? The samsara caused by the duality as mithya. Is it clear? We hope you remember the words I taught you in the class. Amani bhavaha. This is what is discussed in these 9 verses. You have to remember that verse. Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. One line you all can remember. Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. Mind has to be tackled. Mind has to be handled. Mind has to be what this mind is. Mind needs to be understood. Mind is understood means what now? You can renegate mind as mithya by understanding it's not really there. There is no such thing called mind which has independent existence without the Atma, the Satyam, the awareness. Isn't it? So Atma Satya Anubodha is for what? Atma Satya Anubodha is equal to Asparsha Yogaha. Asparsha Yogaha is equal to Atma Jnanam. Atma Jnanam is for what? Amani Bhavaha. Amani Bhavaha means negation of the mind as mithya, which is called destruction of the mind, Mano Nashaha. And what is it for? Samsara Nasha. Understand? Samsara Nivritti, which is moksha. You have to say, finally you can say what? Atma Jnanam is equal to moksha. That is discussed from the 39 until 39. Then we have the 40th verse to 47th verse. 8 verses, 8 karikas. 41st to the 47th inclusive, isn't it? 8 karikas discuss the topic of Mano Nigraha. Mano Nigraha implies what now? The discipline of contemplation. Nididhyasanam. What is the topic discussed in those 7 verses? Mano Nigraha. Mano Nigraha implies what? The word used by Gaudapada Acharya is Manonigraha. Mental discipline or absolute mental mastery or mastery over the mind. Manonigraha literally you will read everywhere mind control. But here you say absolute, not relative mastery, absolute mental mastery over the mind. Or I can say freedom from mind. It's a mano nigraha. You are free from mind, you have what? Mano nigraha. It implies contemplation, nididhyasanam. It's a topic in all these 8 karikas. And here, he implies these 3 types of adhikaris. We have to remember. No? Heena, Madhyama, Uttama adhikaris are there. And for Uttama adhikari is the one appropriately, adequately qualified adhikar student and who is endowed with all 4-fold qualifications for whom Shravanam itself will be effective. Shravanam itself will bless him with knowledge and its benefit of Jivan Videha Muktihi and Videha Muktihi. Isn't it? Jivan Muktihi. Jivan Videha Muktihi. Jivan Muktihi. Isn't it? Bless him with 2-fold benefits, we said. The Shravanam itself will bless that person with knowledge. What knowledge he will have? The self-knowledge will bless him with two benefits. What are the two benefits? He will be clear that I, the self, am the awareness, all pervasive, timeless, changeless awareness, free from the three bodies and all the problems associated with the bodies. While living in the world, enjoying the bodies, having the bodies, being endowed with the bodies, now eating, drinking, walking, doing everything physically, also the person is cognitively, he is free, what now? He is free, that is, he is free from all the wrong notions, therefore, I the self am the awareness, free from the bodies and their problems. Not physically, he doesn't say I am not the body, okay, but cognitively, he has that freedom. That is the, no, that is while living also, having the bodies, you don't, not having the bodies. That is Videha Mukti while living. Then as a result of that freedom, isn't it? I self am the awareness free from the bodies and their problems. This because of the vision, then the mind that obtains is free from all the problems. See, if I am, you know, that why? Because all these wrong notions about the self are not there, means there cannot be sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I, thereby no needs, no dependence, therefore no ragadveshas, therefore no jealousy, hatred, anger, all of them are not there. Don't need to do anything, they all resolve naturally. That is why Shastram always repeatedly says you cannot give up anger. You cannot give up the jealousy, hatred. They are natural problems. And they are symptoms of the disease of sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I. And that is because of the wrong identity. Adhyasa. Adhyaropa. It's because of self-ignorance. Because of the ignorance of the self being the truth, isn't it? See, the self-ignorance, isn't it? Because wrong identity. Therefore, he says, in this, that Atma-satya anubodha is there. If the mind is resolved, then naturally, you know, that is very clear means, then the mind is free, isn't it? Mind is free from all these impurities, naturally. That's what now the absolutely free mind is what. In fact, being free from the mind also. You are free from the mind. And that in such a mind is what the most evolved, most mature, highly developed personality. Isn't it? It can't develop anymore. Absolutely pure and then tranquil, serene, undisturbed, non-disturbable mind is, no, then we can, that is the emotional, absolute emotional strength. Nothing can shake the mind. There is no weakness. That is called Jivan Mukti. Entertaining such a mind as a result of this clear non-vision that I, the Atma, am free from the bodies and their complications, that is the actual Jivan Mukti, and which is really sought after by all the people. And that is possible for whom? That Jnanam and the Jnanapalam is possible for the person who is Uttama Adhikari. Isn't it? For who? For anybody, are they possible? But Shravanam itself will bless one with that Jnanam and the Jnanapalam. But for Madhyama Adhikari, Shravanam is not, Madhyama Adhikari means one who is qualified, not unqualified. Qualified but not adequately qualified, for him Nididhyasanam is also prescribed. And for Anadhikari, for unqualified person, come on, you're not qualified? Come on, get class, go. It does not say that. For unqualified person, what is it now? Karma Yogaha. Living life karma yoga is the discipline prescribed. What should the Anadhikari do? Anadhikari is also a spiritual person. Adhikari is also what now? A spiritual person. Ardha Adhikari, Purna Adhikari, Anadhikari, all of them are spiritual people, because for all of them moksha being the end is very clear. Jnanam is being the only means is very clear. Jnanam and moksha be identical is very clear. All of them are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. All of them are given to study of the Shastra, Shravanam. But who will benefit immediately? Adhikari will benefit. Shravanam itself is enough. Anadhikari should, what should do? He should do Shravanam, which is not the Jnana Yoga for him. The Shravanam also becomes a Karma Yoga for Anadhikari, which means Anadhikari should focus on living a life of karma in order to become qualified for knowledge. Then if he lives life Karma Yoga along with Shravanam, then his moksha will be taken care of. Jnana will be taken care of. Then Ardha Adhikari, this Madhyama Adhikari, now he should focus on what? Contemplation. Then contemplation will bless him with knowledge, thereby he can have the benefit also. He can have the knowledge, but he may not enjoy the benefit. He can enjoy knowledge as well as benefits. Is it clear? And whereas Uttama Adhikari, Shravanam itself is enough for him to enjoy knowledge and its benefits. Therefore, he is discussing the Nididhyasana. And most of the people are what now? Inadequately qualified people. Generally, it's very natural, the problem. Therefore, Nididhyasana is prescribed as a discipline. And there, he does not say how you should sit and how you should do, etc. And I told you already, Nididhyasana means you have to listen, repeated listen. Paunapunyena Shravanam itself becomes what? Will become the contemplation for you. All the time, always focusing the attention now on teaching, isn't it? Being with Vedantic teaching is itself is Shravanam, is Nididhyasanam. And always again discussing the Vedantic teaching only with the people who study with us now. And also, we can say, listening, thinking, all the time, discussing, all the things will also can contribute for what? Nididhyasam, contemplation. But still, if you follow this, the yogic method of yogic limbs for contemplation, then it's also possible. But generally, in contemplation means, in contemplation implies what? Contemplation also is meditation, where attention is focused on Vedantic teaching. Isn't it? Vedantic teaching is what? One's own Swarupam is subject matter of Vedanta. Therefore, there is, in the Nididhyasanam, you dwell upon the Vedantic, your own Swarupam, in terms of the Vedantic teaching. Then, he mainly discusses the problems involved in Nididhyasanam. We saw last, recently. Basically, why I'm not able to dwell upon? I'm very clear, understand the teaching very well, but still I'm not able to all the time I'm not able to be with the teaching. I forget the teaching. Is it? Thereby what? I'm not able to enjoy the benefit of that knowledge. If knowledge is always there, then you can enjoy the benefit. Isn't it? Which means, why? Because even you're not able to remember the teaching always. Because you're not able to dwell upon the teaching. It is not assimilated in you. It has to become assimilated, isn't it? And for in dwelling upon the teaching, the problems are, whenever I really seriously think about the teaching, I want to focus my mind on the teaching, and immediately I feel very drowsy and sleepy, and then I get disturbed from my contemplation. Therefore, layaha becomes one of the obstacles. And then, even if I try to focus exactly when I think of the teaching, think about, of course, I see how Atma is asangaha, Atma is nityaha. Now, we try to focus on the nature of the Atma, but then suddenly, mind, without knowledge, mind goes away somewhere, vikshepa. Isn't it? And please remember, very interesting, very beautiful thing here. The vikshepa, mental distraction is also called vikshepa, means mind going away, throwing up, isn't it? The thoughts coming up and going to something else is called vikshepa. Distractions and disturbances. Your attention is not to focus, you are not able to focus attention on one thing. Distractions come. Daughter's thought come, son's thought come, grandchildren's thoughts come. Nothing wrong. You have to do the needful for that's a different thing. But all these thoughts come and disturb us, distract. Why? Because the vikshepa, you know, how can you tackle this vikshepa? The thoughts, the cause for the vikshepa is, you know, still you have value for the world and the objects. See, don't need to undermine the world, but you don't need to overvalue the world, isn't it? It's the problem. Give due respect to the world, and but you overvalue it, which means you still have craving for the world and the things because you still value, you still seek, you are still dependent on the world and the objects. For your security and happiness. That lingering value for everything in the world, which means there's still attachment. Which means what? Attachment means what? Again, don't mistake it. I told you many times, being dependent on the world for your happiness and security is what? Attachment. Concern, affection, care, association is not responsible, is not called attachment. Concern, affection, care, warmth, association is okay. Without being dependent on them for your security and happiness is what? Attachment, isn't it? So here, because lack of adequate dispassion implies you're still being emotionally dependent, depend on them for your security. Is it? Therefore, the lack of vairagyam is the cause for vikshepaha. And this lack of vairagyam, which is cause for vikshepa, and which also the unresolved, unsettled issues of the past, our own past samskara which have gone subconscious, which surface and then which also contribute for your distractions, which is called kashayaha. Kashaya. So now we have this layaha, vikshepaha, kashayaha, all of them. Now this vikshepa can be handled how? By remaining, always reminding yourself as what? Okay, these thoughts come and these thoughts are there. I am only a witness here. By all the time seeing yourself as a witness of the thoughts which arise in your mind, you can manage, handle the vikshepa problem. But still vikshepa problem can be totally resolved only by resolving the problem of kashayaha, which is the cause for the vikshepa. Kashaya is the cause for vikshepa. And kashaya is caused by what? Unresolved, unsettled things. Your mind, isn't it? In our subconscious. And also, the lack of adequate dispassion. And you can, therefore, how to become free from dispassionate? you have to develop the vairagyam is not enough. That's the ansadhan chatushti sampatti. What is the problem here? The second qualification is you are missing. You get the four subjects, no? Like four subjects, how many marks? Okay. Mukshutvam, 100%. 100 pass. 100, not even 90, 80. 100. Mukshutvam, 100. You know? And then we have this, what about this? Mukshutvam is okay. Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha, also 80. Vairagyam, 40. Just to pass. Shastra. No. Vairagyam also has to come 100 lot. Then what now? Shamari Shatka Sampatihi. Isn't that? Even Shamari Sampati always is there, but Shamari Shatka Sampati also is there. This for this person, amazing. But Vairagyam somewhere still not enough. You have to, grade has to improve. What should you do for that? To have this passion. All the time, Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha must be there. It is now Nitya Nitya Vastu Viveka. Enough, 100% is not there. Mushutum 100%. Nitya Nitya Vastu Viveka 80, 60. Which means, you at all times see what is Nityam. You have to see what now? Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarshanam. All the time see the limitations of everything here. You know, the problem, the birth, the death, the old age, the disease and all those things. No? We have to really see the limitations of everything. Even for you to be able to see, you need to be mature. Otherwise, you don't get frightened, isn't it? So being with the facts, reality, solve facts. You have to be, you know, with the facts. Therefore, this is very important to see the limitations of everything. All the time, if you see the limitations of everything, if you understand that how, you know, everything is subject to limitations, then naturally you will see what is permanent becomes very clear. And then that will help you. The only source of security is the truth. Everything other than the truth is what? Is like leaning on a cardboard chair. If you understand, then it is possible for us to develop dispassion towards everything else. And dispassion is... If you understand the limitations of everything, dispassion towards the objects of, you know, will be possible. Adequate dispassion is there, then naturally the mind will not be, the distractions also can be avoided. You can be more focused. The last one was rasaswadaha, also we saw. Rasaswadaha means what? Even in meditation, definitely samadhi anubhavaha is possible. The samadhi experience means what? Every time you are very focused, if you have tackled all the three problems and you are able to dwell upon the teaching, means every time you dwell upon the teaching and you are completely, mind becomes tranquil and serene, and there is Advaita Anubhava experience, and even that is also a state of mind, a condition of the mind. It is natural for us to get, you know, engrossed in the enjoyment of that pleasure of what having that such mind. And you have to remember that even that mind is only a state of mind. It's experience which is subject to go. That is also only temporary happiness, which is only a fraction of manifestation of fullness. That is not anandaha. Isn't it? So enjoyment of the joy which is experienceable during meditation. Patsan Nidhyasana. Nice, nothing wrong. You can enjoy the joy. You can have, experience the joy. You can have that serenity you experienced in meditation. You can have it. But don't get attached to that also. What? Nisangaha. Isn't it? Attached to that quite serenity also, because it's a temporary condition of the mind. It will be there as long as you are in contemplation. Once you come out of contemplation again, it will go. Which means, how you can avoid that? By reminding yourself of the fact that I am fullness, I am happiness, I the self am. I am Turiyam Chaitanyam, I am limitlessness. Actually, even this experience is what? It's only my own reflection. The experience, the serenity I experience, the tranquility I experience, the non-dual experience I have in meditation, in contemplation, it's condition of the mind which is reflection or manifestation of my own real nature. Like what? When I see the mirror, I need to use the mirror to see the reflection of my face. But when only through the mirror I see the reflection of the face, but definitely I don't fall in love with the face. I see the reflection of the face, isn't it? And the mirror. But I should remember, no, it's such a beautiful face is only reflection of my real face, isn't it? Which means I am my face's beautiful face. It's only reflection, you should remember. Similarly, I am fullness, I am happiness, I am serenity, I am tranquility. Okay? And a tranquil, serene, calm mind which I entertain, I experience during contemplation is only reflection or manifestation of my own swarupa, my nature. And then, remember? Then you can avoid that fourth disturbance also. And without this, without all these obstacles, and you are successful means you can take ownership of your own Swarupam being Advaitam Satyam, isn't it? The Turiyam as the self. Is it clear? Is the 47 verse over? And 48th Karika again is called what now? The sums up, like how the first two verses are Upodghata Mantra Karikas, it's Upasamhara Karika. The final Karika, the 48th Karika again presents the, what now? It sums up the whole teaching. There's no Jagat. There is no Jiva. Jiva is also what? Satyam. Jagat also is Satyam. There is no Jiva, there is no Jagat. What is? There is only non-dual reality, the consciousness, which is what? The Self. I, the Self, am the non-dual secondless, non-dual reality, the consciousness. Advaitam. Aham Advaitam Satyam. So, what is introduced briefly is finally concluded, in conclusion after briefly presented. So, brief conclusion, brief introduction, same. What is briefly introduced is again briefly concluded. In between, elaborately discussed. Upodghata 2 karikas, Upasamhara 1 karika, and 48 minus 3, 45 vistaraha. 48 verses. Now we have to see actually, I have to really give you the summary of the first two chapters also, which we'll do maybe sometime. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Hari Om.